Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 289, part 2, the conclusion to Promise 11. Today is Sunday, April 28th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
The very greatest thing you can do is to believe on the one that worked it out for you and did the whole thing. And then the fruit of that is working. Not towards your salvation, but a working fruit, a fruit, I believe, of the Spirit is working. In obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and loving it for the most part. And oh, how the Ishmaels can't receive the promise fully because of unbelief, they hate this. They hate that the promise is made to him that believes the promise, and to him it shall be fulfilled. They hate that. You mean you simply only got to believe? That's it. Now, he who embraces the promise is embraced by the promise. And that's all there is to it. He who accepts Christ Jesus is accepted in Christ, the Bible says. And he who truly believes is surely saved. Oh, that's such a simple message. But many don't realize the greatness of simplicity. Have you ever seen simple people? How great they are? Huh? There's a young man that's working downstairs. It's a court referral. Comes in. Okay, he says, I'm getting this thing down here now. Okay. And he gets in there and he gets all the tables clean. And he gets all the chairs stacked. He's telling other people what to do. He sweeps the floor. He mops the floor, and he says, do you want me to do the bathrooms or put the chairs down? It's simple. No arguments. No little hidden motives. I mean, what kind of a hidden motive could you have to cleaning a toilet bowl out? Huh? What kind of a great desire could you have? Hidden desire. No, it's simple, but it's so beautiful. It's so uncomplicated. I mean, if you're going to do something, do it. Don't complicate the thing. Right? That's just like you got up here last night. You didn't compliment. You're going to have 5 minutes when you get down there to Colorado. And to get up, set up your instruments, and play a tune. It can't be complicated. It's got to be real simple. Like plug one plug in and start playing. Now maybe there'll be complications when you get there. But that doesn't have anything to do with you being simple. And I don't mean that in a derogatory fashion here. I'm not talking about that you're simps. I'm saying keep it simple. Well, how do we keep it simple? By looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, and whatever happens, don't fall apart. Don't worry about it before you get down there. Don't get into the queasy deasies, and don't get yourself all shook up before you even get down there to the stage. I mean, if you plugged in the mic and the whole stage blew up and you're standing there with one hair on your head and smoking tennis shoes, you say, well, we obeyed God. Let's go home. Huh? Well, that's the way I've come to believe. I have to believe that for people all the time. Oh, I'm sorry I walked up and gave you a knuckle sandwich and beat you in your face, Pastor Paul. Oh, that's all right. Now, you have to come into an area of being simple. Either your forgiveness is a forgiveness or it ain't a forgiveness. Oh, you should be sorry you beat me in my face. Hell will be waiting for you. If I have anything to say about it. Huh? Praise God, I don't have nothing to say about it. Isn't that right? Praise God, we don't have a lot to say about people's salvation. There'd be a whole lot of them going to hell, right? Aren't you glad that people don't have the final say on who's going to heaven and who's going to hell? Ooh. Now, I'm not talking about your enemies sending you to hell. Your friends. Did you hear that, radio audience? Friends of yesteryear? Oh, excuse me. Kind of get caught up once in a while in the message. I forgot I was on the radio. Strike that. Strike it in your head. Yeah. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. Simple. Well, what can we do to do the works of God? Oh, let's see. This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. Now, that sounds simple, but it was very complicated for them because they couldn't do it. Not only they couldn't do it, but they wouldn't do it. So that's how we got all separated in our religions. Because we couldn't accept the next guy. All of those fears and worries and doubts and what ifs. How do you eliminate them? Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anything else you can believe on? Of course not. Is there anything else besides after that you believe in Jesus Christ initially? Then we go on to the promises. Now, for the life of me, I can't understand how some of these people can go on and they minister these promises. God promised me this and God promised man. So and they have a hard time believing they're saved. I mean the ultimate in the promise, the ultimate in God-like works. Approved above all others in the kingdom of God. Simply believe on the Lord. And they can't get that down. How can they get all these other things down? Because the flesh wants them. Oh, I need to get them checks and balances going up there in the heavenly bookkeeping. There's going to be a whole lot of bankrupt people. Say amen, somebody. Yeah, simplicity, I believe, it reduces life to its minimum of real needs. Isn't it funny? Well, you think you need this and you need that, and I see people bringing stuff down here they thought they needed. Hello, Pastor. I just cleaned out my garage, and there's a lot of stuff there I really don't need. Like some tires I bought on sale. Are you listening on the radio? I got tires there. We need tires down here. Up in the rafters. And there's some tires here. I'm not using them. And there's a baby carriage and there's a high chair. And, you know, I'm 50 years old. I'm not looking to have any more babies. Huh? And yet people store all this up. They're complicated. Pack rats are really complicated. You know that? Pack rats have been known to have nervous breakdowns. They don't know where to pack this stuff after they get it there. They run out of packing space. So I would tell you now, you listening on the radio, eliminate all that worry and clean your garage out and part of your house. Sell your Pepsi bottles and send $1,000 to the ministry. Too simple? Is it too simple? Seems to me it's pretty complicated for some folks. They make it that way. Eliminate the obvious log jams in your life. Worry. And so it reduces life to a minimum of really needs. Real needs. We don't need a lot of things, do we? Oh, I've just got to have it. And I just got to have this dress and that dress. And somebody compliments you on one dress and that's the only one you wear until it's in rags and the other ones hang in the closet. How many of you out there have got suit upon suit and you never wear any of them? You wear one. A sport jacket and some slacks. We'll eliminate. See, when you start to fall in love with the Lord, all of these things aren't really necessary anymore. Do they make you happy? Does having a lot of money make you happy? And I'm not against having some money. But I can tell you definitely, and I know what I'm talking about, having a great amount of money will not make you happy. You know what makes you happy? Doing the will of God. And what is the will of God? That you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to begin with, and then you believe on the promises. And the promises, by the way, you people out there, you prosperity hounds, their prosperity is that your soul may prosper while you're here, and your prosperity is in the kingdom of heaven. That's where you're going to get your dues. Okay? Oh, golly. I don't know if I can wait that long. You could die tonight. Is that simple enough? Hey, when you take life down to one heartbeat, isn't that simple? It's simple, isn't it? One heartbeat. You're only one heartbeat away. You can either live or die. Is that simple? Put a plastic bag over your head. Is that simple enough? You stop breathing. Isn't that too simple? That's the way it is. It's not all complicated at all. Well, I don't know if I can stop doing this. You can't stop doing it by yourself. That's the simple truth. And so it reduces, as I said, life to its minimum of real needs. You don't need all that. I was talking to a guy the other day. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take up fishing. I said, well, don't do what I did. Get all enthused about it, and you go on down to Sears, see? And then you take the rod and shh, and you reel back. Somebody says, boy, you got good wrist action. You've been fishing a lot? No, not really. It's just my first time. Oh. Well, you better get one of these hats now. You better get one of these little boxes to put the fish in. How about some wading boots? Oh, yeah. Boy, there's a nice boat. Hey, well, so what? I mean, you're going to fish? Go into it all the way. Buy the boat, buy the trailer, buy the hitch for the car. That's only $250, special hookup. The lights. Buy the whole schmear. Why not? I'm really going to get into this fishing. You go out there one time, get sunburned, and get so sick you vomit, and you never go again. Huh? Did it make you happy? Well, maybe you want to try hunting. I tried all that. I don't know what I'm talking about, see? I told the guy, you'd be better off to go rent it out. Oh, you know what I'd like to? I'd really like to have a cabin up north. I said, you would? Why complicate your life? All your relatives will just be happening to drive by. 250 miles from their house, happen to drive by. Wondering what you were doing. What's for chow? What's for dinner? And one guy, a friend of mine, I said, well, did you have fun up at your cabin? He said, yeah, I got up there. You know what happened? The whole chimney fell down. I spent the whole weekend rebuilding the chimney up there. And the grass was this high, and squirrels got in under the roof. And oh, my God. And then we forgot to turn the water off, and then the pump didn't work. And oh, man, oh, we got it in good shape now. The guy's half dead. It's in good shape. He's so tired from getting it in shape, he couldn't enjoy it. I says, you know what? You'd be better off to spend $500. I said, even $1,000. And go rent one out from somebody and say, hey, you got a nice big house here on the lake. I will give you, for 8 or 10 days, I'll give you $1,000 to use everything in this house. It would be cheap. You wouldn't have no worries. No plumbing worries. No electrical worries. No boat worries. No, did you mix the oil and the gas together? And all these problems. Oh, you forgot the oil. You know we got to have oil mixed with the gas. And you got to start the thing. It won't start. Huh? Why complicate your life? And you find out you can really eliminate a lot of things and help this guy pay for his cabin. See, it raises life to its maximum of powers. Simple believing brings power. Just simple believing. Not harebrained thinking. Not worry thinking. You know what I mean? Worry thinking. You get all nervous and all arthritic. Huh?
Ooh. Wonder what's going to happen next. Ooh, what if this happens and that happens? Ooh, ouch, ooh, ow, ooh, 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 I'm getting old. Oh, I'm 24. Ooh.
Huh? I had a friend, he was going crazy. He was turning 40, and he had a little 50-cent piece bald spot on his head. Stayed up all night worrying about that bald spot. I said, give me some paint, and I'll paint that spot on your head. I mean, he was so shook up about becoming 40 years old. God, What's going to happen to me? Oh, nothing. You're going to be 41 next year. Then you're going to be like me. You'll be 50. And then you'll die. Yeah. Well, of course, unless you worry yourself into an early grave and get all wrinkled up prematurely because you're worried about becoming 40. Complications. Isn't that right? People worry over these things. And so simple believing brings us power. Well, I'm going to be 40, so what? So what if they put it on a billboard? Bob Jones is 40 today. See, simplicity means the survival not of the fittest, but of the best. The best are always simple, uncomplicated people. You know what they're going to do. And that's why Jesus kept it simple. The God of all universe kept it simple. The greatest thing you can do in the way of God-like works is to believe on the Lord. Oh, yeah, but I mean... Woo! Are you hearing us? Simplicity, I said, means the survival not of the fittest, but of the best. Those are the best people, the simple ones. See, these complicated worriers, you don't know what they're going to do. They're sporadic. They're complicated. And in morals, it kills, I believe, the weeds of vice and weakness. So let's say then that the flowers of virtue and strength may have room to grow. Why be all cluttered up with the weeds of indecision when you simply have to trust in the Lord? One day at a time, sweet Jesus, one day at a time. See, that simplicity cuts off, I believe, the waste. And it intensifies the concentration. You cannot concentrate until you become simple in your believing. You waste a whole lot of time. Let's get moving. Time's a wasting, they used to say. Now, if you were going to run the 100-yard dash, that don't last that long, you know. And you get on your marks, get set, go. You haven't got a whole lot of time to worry. You got to concentrate on that 100 yards down there. And that's when something happens and when power happens, when you got concentrated power by keeping it simple. Right? Yeah, it is right. See, I'm talking about faith in the Lord and believing in His promises is what you want to concentrate on. Concentrate on love. Don't concentrate on folks. Oh, golly. You ever try to concentrate on a person? Just pick out one person and try to concentrate on and try to figure out what they're going to do. You want to go crazy? Folks is fickle. Come on now. I think simplicity converts the flickering torches into searchlights. Keep it simple. Believe on Jesus. Believe on the promises. Aren't all the great truths simple? Isn't the essence of all Christianity? I think it could begin in a few words, given in just a very few words. But it would take a lifetime of continual seeking to make those words real in your life. Living thoughts, acts, words like love. It's a simple word. Give, that's a simple word. Forgive, that's a simple word. But see, they're all things we don't want to do. Aren't they? Aren't they all great truths? But to make those words real, sometimes it takes a lifetime. Now, we must learn about taking possession of the promise. I am, the Bible says, and I'm closing, I am the Lord of Abraham, thy father, and God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it. Genesis 28 and 13. And I think there's a lot of souls that find much difficulty in just simply laying hold upon the promises of God as being made to themselves. They feel, I think, a lot of times that it would be presumption to grasp things so good and so precious. And as a general rule, I believe we may consider that if we have faith to grasp a promise, that promise is ours. And I think the God that gives us the key which will fit the lock of the door intends that we will use that key to open up that door. Here's the key, open up the door. Here's the key to love, and here's the key to peace and key to power. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It will fit in the lock, and it will turn, and it will open up, and there'll be a vast school of knowledge there and a larger room. No, you listen to me out there. There can never be presumption in humbly believing in God. And I believe there may be a great deal of daring to ask this question. But hey, why question the promises of God? I don't think it's likely that we err in trusting the promise too far, is it? I think our failure lies in want of faith, not in the excess of it. Isn't it hard to believe God too much? The Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you. And that's a word the Lord will never draw back on. If thou canst believe, all things are possible, it says, to him that believeth. It is also written, they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. And I don't think it's ever been written that one who entered in by faith was kicked out for impertinence. Here it is. Jacob, according to Genesis 28 and 13, took possession of the promised land by stretching himself upon it and going to sleep. It's called faith rest. When you go to bed at night, you lay down on that bed and you go into faith rest, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and believing on his promise. It's called faith rest. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it. I thought to myself, how many times have I just simply believed in the promise and then acted on it and it worked out? I know that if I have faith for a thing, it will always work out. Listen, folks, move in faith and God works it out as we go. It may turn out, listen to this, it may turn out different, but the why is always revealed. It may turn out different, but the why is always revealed. Now, I know you positive confession people don't like that. But boy, let me tell you something, that is the truth. It won't turn out always the way you thought it was going to turn out, but God will always give you the why He did it that way, and it will always be simple, and it will always make sense, and it will always be for your own good. And I don't care what the opinions are of everyone else. And so let us grab a hold of the promises after we are sure of the promise of eternal life. The other promises, of course, will come easier. Why is it do we have so much trouble believing on the promises? We don't believe in the first promise that much. And so all the promises are to believers who have faith enough to embrace them. And I believe, plead them at the throne room of grace. The Bible says the wells of Abraham serve for Isaac and Jacob in 1,000 generations. And so come and let us let down our buckets with joy and draw water out of the old wells of salvation. If thou canst trust, thou mayest trust, the Bible says. You know, the promises have been used for many thousands of years and they haven't worn out yet. Come, let us imitate Jacob as he laid down in a certain place and took stones, it says, as pillows. Let us use the Bible as a couch and certain promises as pillows. Lay down your burdens and thyself also and take thy rest. And remember, the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it. You want something out of God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a promise. Don't get all balled up in things. Just keep it simple. Be a fool for Christ's sake. When you're simple, you're foolish. When you're foolish, people will tell you so. But that's the way it is, isn't it? When you start doing things good, anytime you do something good, it isn't going to be always appreciated. Because wherever good is, evil is always present. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the Bible says? It's always there. But do you know what your great joy is? In your obedience to the Lord. That's where the joy comes in, see? But you got to keep it simple so you can enjoy all these simple truths. You can't enjoy them if you're not simple. I didn't say be a nincompoop, but I'm saying you can't enjoy them until that you're simple. See, fear, that complicates it. And worry and doubt. And that old sabotage subtle that comes up and you try to do something, the words come on, why did I do that? And you do the same thing over again. We got to believe in the promises. And the promises is, I'll give you a new heart and I'll give you a mind. So maybe you need to lose your mind so you can gain the mind of Christ. And that's it. It's so simple. Until you really get in a tight place, I guess you can't really understand that. See, preachers, if you're listening, getting a message ready is living the message. And then studying your scriptures and putting it together with what you've learned for that day and for that hour. And that's a simple message, isn't it? Isn't that good? No, it's a really simple message. Can you simply receive a simple message? Oh, that's simple. Huh? What can you accept? Can you accept life the way it is? That's simple, isn't it? I am happy whatsoever state I'm in, rich or poor. Can you accept that? Well, being rich doesn't make you happy, and being poor doesn't make you happy, but can you be happy if you are rich or if you are poor? I mean, if that were to happen to you. That's the simpleness of it. Being happy isn't a contingency thing. It's either you are or you're not. Now, that's a simple fact. And you have to learn that through the Lord. You have to learn. And as you go ahead and you do the works of the Lord, which is simply believing on the Lord, and then the fruit of the Spirit is working it out, it just seems so simple. But see, you got to get into it yourself. This trip that you're going on is so good for you. You know what I mean? You'll see things in a different light. You get down there, and God will, if you're open up to God all the way down there, well, He'll just show you new things all the way down there. So much fun traveling with the Lord. You'll see things all the time. Isn't that right? Well, I'm down here working in this mission. I see things every day. That's where I get my messages. It's real simple. You just go in there, and God gives you a message. And you wait on this person, go out and wash some dishes, go over here, scrub the floor, put some chairs up, pack bags, do this, do that. And it's so routine, and it's so simple. But is it? Must be awful complicated for some folks, because they don't want to do any of it. Their head gets in the way. Their flesh gets in the way. And they're not simple anymore. Huh? You know, you guys amaze me, all of you that are down here working, and then the only ones we have in here tonight are people that come down here and go to work down here. And you are about the simplest folks I ever met in my whole life. You just simply do the job. Didn't Jesus keep it simple? Okay. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Now that's pretty simple. Either you do or you don't. Young man, are you born again? No. I'm glad you came tonight. It is just a simple. It's a, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure glad you came. And I'm glad I made your acquaintance. And I'm going to pray with you. Okay? Just pray after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And baptize me in God's Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom, peace, and joy. And Lord, a new language to praise your holy name. Praise God, I am saved and filled with God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Wasn't that simple?
Yeah.
Very simple thing. Very simple. And that's the simplicity of the gospel. Pardon? Okay, you do that. See, you do that by yourself anyway, see? I mean, that was just accepting Jesus by the gospel message and by the preacher, and you have to live it anyway. So you'll do it. That's right. But see, listen, it says, okay, how will they know the Bible says, let me give you the gospel, okay? How will they know unless the preacher is there? And how will they know unless the preacher is sent? So when people come into the church, the Bible says, not me, the Bible says, offer Christ to those people. And if they will confess, say with their mouth, and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, they will be saved. See, now that's simple. And now, okay, that's real simple. You did it very simply. Okay, now right away, then our brain starts to complicate the thing, see. Well, you don't have to complicate it because you obeyed God by just doing that. So that's the simpleness of it. And that's it. That's it. You're saved forevermore, and not because I said it, the Bible said it. That's it. That's simple. Lord, I want to thank you for these people that are here tonight. Thank you for the radio audience, and thank you for the tape audience. God bless our people as they go down their tracer, as they go down. Keep them safe, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
There you have it. That was episode 289, part 2, the conclusion to Promise 11. If you missed part 1, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you will find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, the show notes, and scripture links. So be sure to check those out. You can join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. Next Friday's message, Promise 12. Have a great week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. Gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord. You're gonna have to serve somebody. You may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil.
said somebody.